Joe Mullins of Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers. Joe's my guest in the second hour of today's program. Joe and the Radio Ramblers have a brand new album, end of August. The Story We Tell, it's on Rebel Records. We're going to talk about that album. We're going to talk about Joe's radio network. We're going to talk about IBMA. Joe is the chairman of the board of IBMA. And talk about the band. A lot of things. Joe has a lot going on and a lot to say. And first part of a conversation with Joe Mullins of Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers. I am really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass my friend, and I say that up front, Joe, so that people know, and if they want a full disclosure on my part, Joe Mullins is my friend, and I can explain why if they want to talk to me about it, but I'm so happy to have the opportunity to talk to Joe Mullins about this brand new album with Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers, The Story We Tell, which is on Rebel Records. And man, it's a good one. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, Steve, and thanks so much for all you do for the whole bluegrass community, and we're glad you have an audience for what the Radio Ramblers do, and we're glad to have a place on your playlist.
I'm thrilled and delighted, man, and this new album, Joe, first of all, off the air, Joe, you know, so the audience knows, Joe is very active in IBMA. He's our leader down there for the board, and I can tell you this, Joe Mullins, my friend, you put so much time into making us a better organization, and I know that I'll get done with you here, and I bet you'll be working on some issues coming up before we get down there. And even though this will be after the fact, I want to talk about IBMA and give you some credit for what you're doing, which is a yeoman's job, my friend.
I'm passionate about all things bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
And the association, our International Bluegrass Music Association, it keeps the foundation in place to allow bluegrass professionals to be better at what they do and allow Holly bluegrass players or broadcasters or promoters to have resources, and it gives us a voice in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
The association has been a positive influence in the music industry, representing bluegrass for over 30 years, and I'm just glad to contribute a little bit of time and resources to help us do what we do and do it better.
It's hard to explain, Joe, that how much time is involved, and I'm just a board member, and I can tell the people out there in the audience that there's a lot of devoted people that spend a lot of time on a volunteer basis to make this thing come together. It really is amazing, and it's kind of rewarding when you go to these meetings and you come away thinking, first of all, you're tired at the end of the meetings because there's been a lot that's been mulled over and voted on, but you also kind of feel like, you know, somebody's really trying to steer the ship.
Sure. Well, we're a nonprofit board, and there's 19 of us in the boardroom that kind of make certain the association stays on task and on mission to accomplish something positive day after day, week after week, on behalf of the bluegrass community. And we're our nonprofit trade association. Our association only employs four people.
Mm-hmm.
Executive director, and he has a staff of three, take care of all the business of hundreds of Bluegrass Music Association members and dozens of projects that function annually. Those projects are managed by a slate of about 200 volunteers that fill up committees to help us oversee all the things we try to have our hand in to ensure success in the bluegrass community. So it's a lot of passionate professionals that keep the IBMA, the International Bluegrass Music Association, going forward.
There are. And Joe, with all of your time, and by the way, Joe, for the listening audience, nominated this year Banjo Player of the Year, which thrills me to death. And also the band has Sacred Memories as recorded gospel performance of the year from the album from the same name, also on Rebel from last year. So Joe, congratulations to you and the band. I know you look at this band as a unit. It's your name, Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers, and I know that they all take pride in every accomplishment that the band you know, can work their way into. And I just think it's the album, by the way, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the album. This album is just an absolute pleasure to listen to.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's the goal. Every time we assemble songs and go to the studio, and I can't talk enough about the band, my team. I've been fooling with a banjo for 35 years in some professional capacity, and to be surrounded by the kind of talent that I am right now is just absolutely a blessing every time we get to go on stage. Band started as a regional effort, where the Radio Ramblers, as many of your listeners know, because I've been active as a broadcaster as well as a performer
right
over 30 years, And my home base in southwestern Ohio is just great fertile ground that has been all since the history of bluegrass began. And my dad was a broadcaster and a fiddler. I'm a broadcaster and a banjo player. With the area network of stations I have in three counties here surrounding Dayton, Ohio, bluegrass activities are just endless. And so my radio station was being called upon to help promote every type of concert, event, and activity, and oftentimes an advertiser or a community group or a county fair or a performing arts center would call my radio station saying, we need bluegrass entertainment. This was going back 11, 12
years. Right, yeah.
And I booked everybody in the business to fill some of these slots, but oftentimes they would say, we need somebody next month, and, you know, we have a budget. That's good, but not great. You can't hire Ron DeVent at this time. So I put together Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers, able to go out and do bluegrass promotions and concert activities in my home base of southwestern Ohio. Well, doggone, there's so much good talent in our area that the band got recognized by the time we did our second recording, and it got distribution through Rebel Records.
Mm-hmm.
2012, we won the Emerging Artist of the Year Award from the IBMA. And that put us in business. It encouraged us to keep making records and keep promoting ourselves to a national and international audience. Now we're about year six of touring full time.
Mm.
And the guys in the band right now just absolutely kill it every time we go on.
They really.
Mike Perry's been there since the beginning. Great vocalist, mandolin player. He's really evolved into a mandolin stylist on this album. He's got a distinctive approach to the mandolin, and it's really working for our music. Dwayne Sparks has been in the band for 5 years. He's a very appealing vocalist, sings with a lot of soul, plays solid rhythm guitar, and it's just a joy on stage. Randy Barnes joined the band 4 years ago, veteran bass player, on the stage with so many good acts, so consistent, plays such quality notes that accent exactly what every song needs in the studio or on stage. And with our gospel music being so recognized, yet another year's worth of nominations from the association, Randy's the bass voice when we sing a quartet as well. And we're approaching Jason Berry's third anniversary. Jason's a veteran fiddle player, even at a young age, on the road full-time since his teenage years. Resume including a stint with Carolina Road, with Doyle Lawson, with Larry Stevenson. So thrilled that he joined the band 3 years ago. He's such a great musician. He's pushed me to a new level.
Mm.
All these guys have made an old man like me dig deep when I get the banjo out. So the nomination I've earned as Banjo Player of the Year, I'm standing on their shoulders. There's no doubt.
Oh, it's nice. It's a nice comment. This album is absolutely, and I'm not, you know, I don't think that bands necessarily get better and better and better, but I like this about as much as anything that you've done, and I think maybe it's a culmination of, as you talk about, the band is developing and getting better and better. And by the way, if anyone hasn't seen Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers on a stage performance, Joe, and we've talked about this before, I think that you and the Radio Ramblers and the band, as far as a stage presentation, I just don't think there's a better one that people are going to see with the way things are handled, the professionalism of the band, and the way the show comes off with you as the MC. I just think it's something that everybody needs to see how maybe it used to always be. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's a tall compliment. I've tried to be a good student for 50-some years now of being a bluegrass enthusiast. And I always love the class and the quality and the presentation of the founding fathers. You know, I didn't get to see the Stanley Brothers, but I saw hundreds of Ralph Stanley shows. And I did get to see the Osborne Brothers at their best, Jimmy Martin at his best, and the Country Gentlemen at their best, and Monroe at his best. And so I've learned a lot of lessons, and I've been so blessed to be on radio. I started on radio full-time when I was 16 years old.
Jesus.
So I presented a lot of broadcasts, and when I lay out a show for the Radio Ramblers, I don't like to have any dead air.
Right.
And I like the focus to be on the audience. And so thankfully the guys have followed my lead, and we hit the stage, and we got a plan, and we worked the plan, and the plan is to hold everybody's attention and engage that audience for the full hour, hour and a half, or whatever our stage time is.
Joe, it's really obvious that it's not a mistake. When your band takes the stage, it's really obvious that everything is working, and it's like clockwork. I mean, you have some flexibility in it, but it's clear that this is a plan and that you do. And I've seen you in so many different settings, Joe, where you do pull the audience in. You learn enough about where you're going to make it relevant to them and pull them into it and make it a show. And it's a wonderful stage presentation. I
appreciate that.
You know,
everybody in bluegrass world is passionate about their playing and their singing. But we don't want to leave entertainment out of the equation.
That's right.
All audiences aren't the same. Everybody in the audience doesn't show up with the same idea or attitude or the same expectations. So you have to try to be all things, yet be yourself, and not leave fun out of it. When I was young, I was so intense and so overly sincere I've matured enough, and these guys have helped me. Keep it light, keep it fun, but keep it crisp and professional. And I think all that adds up too.
And listen, and you have the appearance. We've talked about this, Joe. And Joe and I travel in cars a lot as we go back and forth to some of our IBMA obligations, and we talk about these issues. So it's like everybody gets to listen into you and I driving, Joe. It's not going to take 5 hours though. But we've talked about presentation, as you described. And also the appearance. The band always looks great and sharp, and everybody's ready and alert. And as great as this album is, I didn't want to have a chance to talk to you on the program and not stress again how wonderful of a stage presentation that you guys put on. It really is. It's just like you're watching a scripted movie. It's just done so well. And your MC work, because of that radio background, is just phenomenal.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. It's a lot of fun, and I don't care if it's, you know, 40 or 50 people in a small room, or if we're on one of the major stages in an event with 5 or 10,000 people. It's fun to go on stage and do what we do and have it be recognized and encouraged by those in that audience.
Well, I'll say this too, Joe, in some of our driving back and forth, I am now washing down my Roof Farm potato chips with Ale-8, and these are things that I've picked up from Joe in driving. Not only just really good driving habits, but Joe, you are fortunate enough to be sponsored, and this is kind of a big deal. And I think you've picked up a regular sponsor. I know that you're connected in some of your show activities, and Roof Farm's potato chips, I think they really got behind you in a big way, and I think that's a great thing.
It's been a great blessing this year. Roof Farms Rustic Potato Chips, an Ohio company, launched a few years ago, family-owned, and all of a sudden over the last couple of years, they're in hundreds of groceries.
They're huge.
Out in Ohio.
Yeah.
Now they're available nationally. They're available in a lot of regional groceries in all the surrounding states. This summer, they were rolled out nationally by all the Big Lots stores.
Right.
So they sponsored the band. When you see the Radio Ramblers sometime or another on stage, you're going to hear about Roof Farms Rustic Potato Chips. And if you buy a CD, chances are we're going to give you a bag of potato chips. We have a lot of different promotional vehicles that we're riding in to help out. Roof Farms is a great product.
And they're nice people. And, Joe, that whole idea of being coupled with a sponsor like that for the touring and on the stage, that also is an older feel. You know, of course, we all know Martha White and their connection, but it still gives you that feel when you see the band that it seems like an older time to me when I see that, and you're sponsored by a loyal sponsor who is, like you said, started in the family. They now, if you go to their website, you just see semi-trucks zooming in and out of there. They've gotten so busy so fast. But I do like the feel of that, and I will tell the listeners that I think these are good people that Joe's connected with, or he wouldn't be. So I congratulate you on that. I think that's a great coupling.
I'm grateful. I'm a radio pitch man.
Yes, you are.
I'm on the road with the band. I'm still on a network of 3 a.m. and 2 FM stations managed here in southwestern Ohio. I have pitched everything from potato chips to Buicks to insurance to garage door openers. If it can be sold on radio,
Joe can do it. That's right.
30 years.
That's right.
My dad did the same thing. So I've learned the art of live ad-lib endorsement-style radio, and it's still very effective. And so you can carry that over to the stage, just like Lester Flatt and Rhonda Vincent did.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So we can do it with potato chips.
Well, well, let's talk about this album, because I really do think, and I'm talking to Joe Mullins, if you're just tuning in, because Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers just had a new release on Rebel Records, The Story We Tell. And I would, if someone said, I'm limited to words, which is difficult, I would say there's nothing that isn't totally pleasing to the ear to listen to this album. There are 12 songs on it. Every song on here is just, you just smile. It's just a pleasing, and it fulfills all you want to hear as far as musicianship and the vocals. Joe, there's a song on here, and I'll get to it. I'm talking about some of the songs, but Would You Care, which is, I have it as the 10th cut on the album. See, that sounds to me, Joe, like some of that young, strong Joe Mullins vocals in Traditional Grass.
Thank you. Traditional Grass was the band I grew up playing with. Started when I was 18. The band had a great run. When I was 29, I bought my first radio station, and the band came off the road. So if I can sound like I was in my 20s, well, I'm now in my early 50s. I'm grateful for that compliment, Steve. The trio on that one is unique. It's a trio arrangement we learned from the Browns, Jim, Ed, and Bonnie and Maxine. That killer family harmony,
yeah,
on RCA Records at the Grand Ole Opry in the late 1950s. And that was one of their lesser-known songs that I found recently. You know, Mike Terry sings the lead part for the band on that. Mm. Wayne Sparks is actually singing the tenor part. I'm singing a higher baritone.
Yeah.
And trio all the way through, a lot of fun.
That's the vocals, but that's the vocal one that really just made me kind of stop and think, man, I got to listen to this again, because it's such a strong vocal. Vocals are great throughout, Joe. Don't get me wrong, but if I had to pick one that was the vocal shining star of this, I believe that's the one, because of the trio and the way you've described it in the whole album.
It's a unique sound.
It really is.
Sound that's new to bluegrass at all, and actually, if you want to give our audience a little bluegrass history, that trio style of lead, then tenor, then the baritone highest, that was patented by the Stanley Brothers first years ago with Carter and Ralph, and then P.B. Lambert singing that high part. Ours has got a different feel. It's got a smooth texture like the Browns, or maybe like the Osborne Brothers, but now that was a different style trio. That style of trio is on our album as well. I sing the lead part with the two harmony parts underneath on A Long Gone Out West Blues.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad you brought that up.
That one, too.
That was going to be my next starting point. First of all, I think it was a great idea to release that as the single that was available first. That's a great up-tempo tune. Did I hear you say that your son Daniel presented that to the band?
He did. Daniel has found a lot of songs for the Radio Ramblers. Several of them have found a prominent place in our set list and on radio playlists. And Daniel likes all kinds of music. And there's some folk artists out around Vancouver, a husband and wife team, who are great writers. And they do old-time duet music. And Daniel introduced me to their songs a few years ago. And as soon as I heard that song, I thought, man, that's grassy.
It is.
We need to have some energy and arrange that someday. We were going to do it 3 or 4 years ago, and then we had the opportunity to do our all-gospel album, Sacred Memory.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of tabled that song and brought it back, first song for this album. And got to do it on the Grand Ole Opry just the other night.
Oh.
It just energizes an audience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Romeros, I think, gave you that tune. And they were old-time banjo makers, kind of a unique niche. And then I think they had a really bad fire. I don't know if they've come back yet. But
you're correct.
Yeah.
Jason and Ferris Romero,
mm-hmm,
husband and wife team. Jason's been an instrument builder, building old-time banjos and more through the years. And they do a husband and wife duet act on the folk and Americana scene. I've never seen them. Spoke with them on radio once. But boy, they're good songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
Long Gone Out West Blues has got, it's a unique layout in how the song is structured, and unique verbiage in how it's penned, and it's just a fresh tune for the bluegrass world, and I'm glad it's been well received.
Oh, I've played it every time, I think every show I've had since I could get my hands on the single.
Good. Well, keep doing it.
You have some nice gospel songs on here. I think the second one I would include, second cut on the album, The Last Old Shovel, Delmar Brothers. That's just a beautiful. You combine upbeat stuff. I've got my marks here, four or five nice up-tempo things. You've got the nice slower ballady things. You've got the a term I borrow from Kristen Scott Benson, overtly gospel, which I would call the second tune, The Last Old Shovel, resting at the end of that. How do you pick these songs out? I know there must be a process, and I know you're involved in it.
Well, it's got to be something that we can sing and put our soul into. You try to find songs that we all can buy into, songs we're going to enjoy arranging, enjoy performing. But also, when you look at what's going to make it onto the album, I've got to have a good vocal variety. Me and Mike Terry and Dwayne Sparks, all three, share lead vocal duties. And we can come up with any combination of duet trio between us. And on this album, there's every combination of trio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sing a duet with Mike. I sing a duet with Dwayne. And both of them sing lead and several other combinations. And then there's content and tempo and keys. And so that each of our albums, I try to lay it out like a radio show. You can listen at it and not hear the same, the same, the same.
I can tell, Joe, I can tell that. I can tell the way they're lined up, and I'm just telling you, I can feel it when I listen to them. That's why part of the thing that made me so pleasure about this album is that I know you take that effort, and I can tell you that on the listening end, it's obvious that you've done it and lined the songs up with a purpose.
Well, I appreciate that. There is purpose behind every one of them. And, the album's only been out a month, and we're already doing, I think, every song except one or two that's been done on stage. We're a busy touring band with seven albums out now, so learning the words and being comfortable with the onstage arrangements takes a little doing, but we were ready to launch this album, and I'm glad you like the variety.
Oh, it's in the lineup. The way you line them up, I like, Joe, you're probably like me. I like to have an album. I want to hear it from beginning to end, and I don't want to do the single here and the single there. If I'm listening, I don't want to pick them off on some streaming thing. I want to hear the album because I figure the artist had some intent in putting this thing out. And this clearly says, if people are listening, and I'm talking to Joe Mullins about the new Radio Ramblers, the story we tell, this album is clearly laid out. But like you said, maybe that's the best. You're doing it like a radio show, and you want to keep the tempos changing. You want to keep the keys actually fit. Into the next one, there's kind of a logical, musical way that these things fit together. This album is just, I will say it again, Joe, it's just a pleasure to listen to this from beginning to end.